Hey everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. You know, in the past we've done a couple interviews with different people. So today we're going to do the same thing. So I got my brother Batman here.
Hey, man.
He goes by Batman. His name is Rob. But everybody knows him as Batman. And so I thought it'd be good to have him in. He's got some great things going on in his life and in his ministry. And so I felt, hey, let's talk. Let's see what we got going on.
That's cool.
So do you want to introduce yourself? Or
Sure. My name is Rob Reeves. Everybody knows me as Batman. I've been Batman for, golly, 12 years, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time. And I am the state president for Forge Brotherhood Motorcycle Club here in Tennessee. An original founding member, and I've been involved in ministry with worship ministry, pulpit ministry, men's ministry for a long time.
Yeah, so definitely busy.
Yeah. And I have a full-time
job. I was going to just say that. I have a full-time job, too.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to our world, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, we talked about doing this for a while, but, you know, there were some questions that we wanted to talk about a little bit, and I think one of the important ones is just, you know, you had shared before that you were raised in the Church of Christ, right?
Right, right.
And so I want to know how you either came back to the Lord or just have been with the Lord. Like, I just want to hear your story.
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually was baptized into Christ May the 10th of 1980. My dad baptized me in the little church that I grew up in Malden, Missouri. And I'm 42 years later. You know, now there were a lot of times where, you know, he walked away from the Lord, but I started leading worship as an 11-year-old, actually. And up until I was about 16, you know, that was all that I thought about. And then I found out that, you know, I could play music at the same time that I could sing, and ended up, you know, trying to live the life of a rock star. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be a rock star, I got to live this life.
So, right.
You know, alcohol and drugs and everything kind of popped in. And I walked away for a long, long time. And I drank my way and drug my way through two marriages. And when I met my wife, Rebecca, all that changed. And she walked with me through recovery in 2008. I found out what grace was in early on in our marriage, and learned how to live with that intimately. And probably about 2006 or something like that is when I started chasing again after the Lord full time. And I've been after it ever since, and won't look back.
Praise God. It's amazing sometimes to me when I think about people's walk.
Yeah.
And what they go through. And I think we've talked about this before, but you know, when Linda and I started dating, I was as far away from God as you could get, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that she was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, she'll tell the story. She doesn't hide it. You know, I told her, I was like, don't be holy rolling on me.
Yeah.
I know who you are. I know who I am. I'm good with it.
And I like my life.
That's right.
You know,
I did.
I thought that too. Yeah. You know, I thought, hey, this is going to be my life for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Praise God for a wife who prays, right?
Amen. And parents, you know, right. My parents still to this day, you know, pray for me. They're 77 years old. And still, you know, every day I know they're praying for me.
Yeah. Praise God. So then, you know, when you were introducing yourself, you talked about ministry, right? You've done mm-hmm. all these different things. And so I just want to know from your perspective, like, how do you define ministry?
Mm. Ministry for me is not just something that I do. It's something that I live out. Every aspect of my life, I want to be ministering somehow, yeah. Whether it be in an example, whether it be a one-on-one conversation, whether it be actually building a relationship in a clubhouse or on the street or something like that, to be able to, you know, show the gospel through my life and show the light of Christ emanating from me. So to me, to define ministry is just how I live,
yeah,
and how I want to be known and how I want to live out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there was a movie a while ago. I don't remember which one it was. And it was, you know, there was a firefighter who, when a guy was dying, he said a prayer for him. Like, hey, do you want me to say a prayer? And the family got upset about that.
Mm.
and that he was proselytizing to a dying man, really. Mm-hmm. And he ended up having to go to court for this.
I remember this.
Remember that?
God's Not Dead, too, or
maybe
something.
That's what it was.
It's one
maybe
of the God's Not Dead. Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe it was. And he asked the question, like, you know, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Yeah. Man, isn't that convicting to just ask that question of yourself?
It is. I think it is for me. Because that's how I think of ministry.
Sure.
Right? And I think you're saying that the exact same thing.
Right.
It's how you live.
Right.
And I think in the community that we minister to, right? Not that we only minister to the motorcycle community, but in the community that we minister to primarily, you'll hear them say a lot, we may be the only Bible they ever open.
Right.
And we better walk the
walk. We better walk it, live it out. You know, and it's funny, I was talking with somebody that you and I both know very well. And he told me, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, let me tell you something about man. He said, you need to keep living what you're living. You need to stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Because this is a rough world. And I, you know, I've been living in this world for, you know, however long, 12, 14 years, you know, and realize that it's a tough world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to be seen as the person that is in this world, but not of this world.
That's right. Amen. Right. And we talk about that a lot, but do we live it a lot?
Exactly.
You know, it's crazy because it makes me think about, I have a podcast coming up that everybody will get a chance to hear, but I talk about a sacred cow.
Mm.
And what is your sacred cow? And I think people don't recognize that sometimes their ego in this world is their sacred cow.
Yep, because we're in this me-ism society where everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody, you know, we look at remote control televisions and microwave ovens and text messages and emails and Snapchat and TikTok and all of it, right? And we try to get to where we're ahead of somebody else so that we can pat ourselves on the back and see our own accolades.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's crazy.
It is. But to live that out, though, means that we have to put that sacred cow behind us. And we have to live a life that's not ours that we want to obtain somewhere else.
That's right. So tell me as much as you can, right? Because I don't want you to, you know, talk about things that are club related or that's private to your club. But tell me about Forged Brotherhood.
Okay. Forged Brotherhood is... a club that we started, we stood Forged Brotherhood up June the 3rd of 2021. 23 full patch members came from another club, and we won't talk about that, but we came from another club and stood up Forged Brotherhood. On our center patch of our back patch, there's 23 rivets around that shield, represents the 23 full patches. Three of us are here in Tennessee, but we... started a Christian motorcycle club that lives around and in commitment, loyalty, respect. You know, we live out the culture. We appreciate and respect the culture. But our mission statement is simple. It's just to glorify God by building spiritually mature brothers to send out into the motorcycle club world. And the first part of that mission statement, to glorify God, doesn't just define what our mission statement is, but we want it to define our lives as well.
Yeah.
So Forged Brotherhood is a group of men who are supported by great wives and old ladies that want to show others, first of all, that Jesus is not just Lord of our lives, but he's the savior of our life too. And living that out by walking out that mission statement is what our goal is. And, you know, building those relationships so that we can show others what Jesus has done in our life, what that salvation means to us, and how we walk that out in sanctification every day is what the club is all about.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
Long before that other club.
Right. Like long I said, before we, that.
we're not here to throw anybody under the bus. No. So it doesn't really matter, right? We're all doing what we think we need to do to glorify God. Right. I love your guys' mission. I really do. And I think if anybody's listening and you want to know more about Forged Brotherhood, I'll have links to their stuff in the show notes.
Yeah.
So you can go to their website. You can go to their Facebook group. They have events up there that you could go. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Iron Saturday. That's something you guys do too.
Yeah. We do Iron Saturday every second and fourth Sunday or Saturday of the month here in Tennessee. Yeah. Other states have it every week. But we have it every second and fourth Saturday here in Tennessee. It's in Gordonsville at the Pilot Truck Stop over there. And we get together for some fellowship time. We talk about some events that we've got coming up, but we get into a Bible study as well. And that Bible study is mostly an application for life stuff of things we may be walking through. It may be an application for us to be able to grow with. It could be, you know, a current events application and how to, you know, kind of negotiate life through those kind of current events or something like that. So it's open to the public, not just, you know, obviously, you know, we ride motorcycles. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to be on motorcycles when we get there. But that's our Iron Saturday.
And even if it's cold.
Even when it's cold.
Even when it's cold. I had the luxury to go to the last one, mm-hmm. I think. Wasn't it the last one?
Yeah, it was the last one.
And I think when I left my house, it was like 29 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, praise God, it was beautiful.
Thank you. It was a beautiful day. Yeah, really was. We appreciate you coming.
It was awesome. We'll do it again. I don't know when, but maybe when it's like 70 degrees.
I'm going to start calling you a 50-50 runner. Be careful.
Come on now. Come on.
I know better, though.
So, you know, I think one of the things I struggle with is how I juggle kind of family and ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
How am I making sure that I'm committing the right amount of time to my wife and to my family, mm-hmm. and maybe to my local church,
right?
Versus everything else that I do,
right?
So how do you juggle that? How do you do that?
Well, one of the things that you and I have in common that's really it's really working in our favor is both of us have grown children.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
You know, so I don't have that aspect that I have to deal with so much. Now, you know, I still talk with my kids a lot, still do things with my kids. But the best thing that I try to do to balance that is I remember that I have to be a good prospect. And I have to prospect well at home.
Yeah.
You know, and that means, you know, taking out the trash. That means helping my wife clean the kitchen, helping my wife cook, helping to keep the house clean. You know, but quality time with her is very important, and juggling that to make sure that the things that we do together are us time related, but at the same time, it's ministry God time at the same time. Yeah. You know,
Does Rebecca ride?
Yeah, she rides.
Okay, I don't know that I've actually ever seen her ride.
Now, she is a 50-50 rider.
Okay.
She is a 50-50 rider.
Yeah. Well, it's always too cold then.
Yeah. Or oh, wait, there's a cloud. It might rain.
Yeah. That's funny, a 50-50 rider.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of clubs, mostly riding clubs, let me say. Yeah. A lot of RCs.
RCs.
That have a 50-50 rule.
Uh-huh. They right? do.
Where if it's like a less than 50 degrees
and or a 50% chance of rain. Yeah, they'll stay home.
They're like, well, we'll just cage it.
Yeah, we'll just go up here to the ice cream store.
So what does your personal devotion time look like?
Oh, man. So I get up every morning, and the first thing that I do is take my dogs out. Yeah. You know, we've got two dogs that are just knuckleheads. They're 100% purebred good boys.
Okay.
But they're both good boys. So that's the first thing I do. And then I go ahead and open up the word and get in the word first off. Anytime I'm in the truck or on the bike, I have praise music on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even in my helmet, you know, I have praise music on. And, you know, during the day when I'm at my desk in my office or something like that, you know, you might walk by and hear, what, who is that? Oh, wait, that's Seventh Day Slumber. You know?
Right. Right.
So, but I try to keep my my focus on that all day long. But at the same time, I've been in an online study group with two other guys for going on 5 years.
Oh.
And neither one of them ride.
Okay.
You know, and the three of us have completely different triangular lifestyles. You know, one guy's a factory worker. One guy's a construction worker. You know, I'm an IT and a biker. And the things that come out of that Bible study, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have Bible study with the club and the crew here in Tennessee. You know, we have a daily time that, you know, we're always talking about scripture throughout the day and different things that are revealed to us from scripture. But my personal devotion time is centered around trying to stay focused on God and his word all day long.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, me leading worship, or whether that's, you know, in a Bible study, or whether I'm in a clubhouse, or, you know, even on the bike, you know, those times are precious to me to be able to just spend time with the Lord.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I think it probably sounds crazy, but it's not to you, right? It may sound crazy to some people listening, but I think, you know, I'm closest to God when I'm on my bike.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You know, because there's no distraction.
Right.
There's no email. There's no cell phone.
No, there's not.
You can't, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not texting with anybody.
No.
Right? And it's just pure focus.
Yeah.
You know, time that I can, I just have a conversation like I'm talking with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I think a lot of people don't think or picture that that's what their relationship with God should be.
Well, people get away from it being that personal relationship too.
Yeah.
You know, and they think that, oh, I can come to church and check off a box, and then I can, you know, talk about God a couple of times during the week and I'm good.
That's right.
You know, but the thing about being on the bike and being closer, you know, or closest to God at that point is because, man, you get to feel the creation around you.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel, you know, the warmth of the sun or the chill of the air, right. You know, this time of year especially.
That's right. The numb of your fingers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So that I agree that the beauty of being on the bike and being closest to God at that point is just phenomenal.
Yeah. What would you, if somebody was listening and they were like, this is just, it's not for me, or I don't understand how you could have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
Man, I would ask them to look back on the times in their lives when they know they never should have made it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just in a life or death situation, you know, make it for, you know, a specific job.
Right.
Or a project, you know, or something that it doesn't have to be a death defying stunt, but, you know, things that, because both of us did crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm the king of doing stupid stuff.
Yeah. You want me to jump off that? All right.
Oh yeah. Watch this flip. Yeah. So, you know, I would ask them, look back at the times that you thought you look back on and go, there's no way I should have made it through that. And ask yourself how you made it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the thing I would add to that is that when you realize it, when you recognize that, holy crap,
yeah,
that could have been a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
I think we forget to think about, once you say, yes, Lord,
mm-hmm,
that's when the battle begins.
Exactly.
Right? I think far too often people think, well, I'm gonna become a Christian, or I'm going to turn to Christ, or I'm going to say this prayer, and then all the problems go away.
Right.
But what they don't realize is the problems start then.
Exactly.
Because before that, the devil won.
Every time.
Right. He had already won. You're already on his team.
Right.
And now he's losing again.
Right.
So just stay the course.
Amen. And people need to realize the difference in calling Jesus their Lord as well as their Savior.
Yeah.
You know, because he can say, oh, I'm saved. You know, I've got foxhole Jesus or jailhouse Jesus or whatever, you know. But are you continuing to chase after him? Are you continuing to live for him? There's a difference in having a Savior and having a Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
And the way that you commit your life to him is paramount.
Yeah. I'm probably going to butcher this, but there was a story I had heard, or maybe it was another preacher that I had heard who talked about, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the days when there were kings that kind of roamed the earth, they just, this is what's going to happen. You don't run and hide from them, mm-hmm. right? You know, well, Jesus is this King of Kings where you can't go to another country. You can't skip town to somebody else's territory.
Yep, that's true. Right? You can't get out of his providence.
You can't just not answer the door.
True.
Right? He's always going to be the king, and you need to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I butchered it.
No. But I saw a thing one time, and I don't remember where it was. It was a demonstration, and I like to think of this demonstration in real life. When people in kingdom days, when they were overcome by another king, one of the ways that they would show their allegiance to the new king would be submitting themselves.
Yeah.
And the visual representation of that is them literally laying on their stomach, face down, with their arms spread out, spread eagle, at the feet of this king. And the only thing they can see is his shoes.
That's right.
So they don't see what, you know, now this king that they're submitting to then has the opportunity or the choice to either kill them or allow them to live.
Right.
And the cool thing about submitting ourselves to Christ at the foot of the cross is that Jesus chooses, wants, and encourages us to live.
That's right.
So, you know, I think about, you know, submitting myself to Christ in that way and what that looks like in my life. And I'm so grateful that Jesus wants me to live for him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful, but sometimes sometimes I'm shocked that he could love me. Right?
Yeah.
That with everything that I've done or been through or, you know, walked away and said, I don't need all that.
Yeah.
Right?
I can do this myself.
Yeah. I love to go fishing, right? For years, Lynn and I would go fishing together almost every weekend.
Right.
We don't do that much anymore because there's just so much ministry stuff we're doing, and we really should get back to it. But, you know, I like to equate it to that, you know, when you hear cast your burdens, right? Well, I'm a fisherman. I want to reel them back in, right?
Yeah.
I'm not patient because I think I can do it myself. I can do it better.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But it's not true.
No, it's not.
I just got to leave them there.
Yeah.
I got to be patient. And I think that's the hardest part about our walk with Christ is the patience and acceptance that he does have our best interest at heart. He does know what's right for us, even when we don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I use an illustration quite a bit, that Lou Giglio and Chris Tomlin used together on stage, you know, the, if Earth was a golf ball, you know, and I get to thinking about that song, How Great Is Our God. And I think about, you know, Psalm 33 says that God created the stars with his breath. So I think of it like this. I think of God went, and then went, and just blew them out into existence, right?
Yeah.
So here's the creator of the universe, the creator of the largest star that the Hubble telescope can find, that if Earth was the size of a golf ball, to compare to this star, it would take enough golf balls the size of Texas, 2 feet deep, to equal the size of this golf ball, of this star, Canis Majoris, big dog.
Yeah.
That Hubble, the Hubble. So God created it with his breath.
Yeah.
And still knows the number of hairs on my head. What?
I know, right?
That's a mind-blowing concept.
Yeah. Well, you know, it really is. Let's be honest.
I mean, it really is. You know, so you think about that personal relationship again, and you think, and the casting my burdens, casting my cares, just like casting that fishing rod, wanting to pull them back in. God wants you to cast those to him.
That's right.
And not take them back. But God, you can't handle this. I'm not clean enough to be your child.
This isn't important enough for you.
Exactly. You've got better things to take care of. That's Are you kidding me? You lost hair number 9,427,000 this morning while you were combing your hair.
Right.
You know, I know these things. My child, I want you to be safe. I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel secure in my arms. And the scripture talks about him having our names written in the palm of his hand.
Right.
His righteous right hand.
He knows us. He loves us.
He does. But we like you said, we want to pull all that stuff back.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of almost the definition of insanity.
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
So as we try to finish this up, what would you say if you were to give anybody advice, just random, what would your advice be?
Oh, man. My random advice would be that you're created and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
And there is a plan for you. I don't care who you are, what you've done, or where you've come from. There's a plan for you. And it's always to be better for God's glory. And if you get some of those accolades along the way, that's fine. But for God's glory. So the place that you're in right now is not the place that you need to finish in. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you've never been a Christian. Where you're at right now is not where you need to end up, because we need to constantly be growing.
That's right.
We need to constantly be growing in the Word. We need to constantly be growing in our faith. And where we are right now is not where we need to end up. And it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah. I couldn't say it better.
Thank you.
The only thing I will add is not to that, just kind of from my personal perspective, you know, when I wasn't walking with Christ, you know, people, I know people have said, you're going to hell, but nobody knew, right? Nobody knew what my walk is. God had a plan for me.
Right.
I'm where I am today because of God's plan. And I wouldn't be here, just like you wouldn't be where you are, without the trials that you went through, without the pain, right? Without the struggles. Sure. And don't let, you know, if you're listening and somebody's like, you're going to hell, or you're a sinner, or you know what? We're all sinners.
Amen.
Right? Don't let somebody else's opinion impact your ability to be loved by God.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And think about this too, Rick. Every single scar that we have on our body, we know where it came from.
Yeah.
Right? And we learned from those scars.
Absolutely.
That's what our past is.
Yeah.
Our past is a scar, because we can learn from that and grow from that and go forward from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Batman, it's a pleasure having you.
Dude, I love it.
We should do this several more times.
Let's do it. Let's do it some more.
We'll start coming up with some themes or, you know.
I'm for that. Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe like once a month or once a quarter, we'd be like, talk about hope one time. Or
oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
We just get together and do this stuff, because, look, that's what this is about.
Sure.
This is about, like, just talking and maybe it'll help somebody.
Sure.
Right?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for coming. Hey, everybody, it's Rick, the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Listen, if you like what you hear, subscribe. We're on all the different platforms of choice. If you have a question, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. And if you want to know more about Forged Brotherhood MC, which is a Christian motorcycle club, their links and information will be in the show notes. Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks.